Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to today's show. We are very happy that you're with us, and we hope that you'll tell your friends so that our light family can continue to grow. You are what makes these shows possible, and it means a lot to us when we get your letters and when you write in and tell us when things are meaningful to you. And we have with us today Paul St. John. And Paul, thank you for joining us again, and please tell me what questions you'd like to ask.
Thank you very much, Almeen. I would like to start with a question about death. You've spoken about death having ended in 2006 as a reality. And my first question would be, if Toltec seers of the past had known that death, that there would eventually be an end to death, and what exactly they knew about it?
Okay, well, you know what, let's split that up into two.
Okay.
Because it's not actually per se the Toltec seers that knew that death would come to an end, but there are prophecies. And where these prophecies are is, in fact, in southern Peru, in a very sacred library there under the huge geoglyph of the flower in Nazca. And it's a prophecy that was cherished by the keepers of that library, the Aranatvi. And they speak about the prophecy of the end of death. And I can actually, I've got it here in my notes, I can share it with our listeners. It says, a time with great glory, when light conquers all, one day shall come after overcoming the fall, when the ages of death shall be done away, when the tyranny of the grave shall no longer hold sway, when once again gods shall walk among men, eternal life shall be possible then. Much shall be done in the times to come. Immortal mastery shall be gained by some. After long ages when humankind slept, in the flower libraries, the Aranatvi a vigil kept, safeguarding the secrets till light again dawns, till masters again among men are born. Very, you know, it's very interesting. When I receive transmissions from beings, I often see the language written, then I hear the language as they speak it, and then when I get the translation, it comes in verse form. On rare occasions, it doesn't. I'm not sure why, but that's why it's coming in verse form. Now, let's look at your second part of your questions, which had to do with the Toltec seers. So they've studied death throughout the ages with the hope that they could somehow overcome its tyranny. They deduced that, firstly, it empowered all that it touched. And secondly, and we, you know, if you want to, that can be another question, why death empowers. But secondly, that it was a purification rite that could somehow become unnecessary if we diligently gained the insights from our daily experiences, purifying life day by day, which Toltec seers call recapitulation. So the third insight that they gained is that death was a force that tumbled or ground against the fields around our bodies. They called it the tumbler. They failed to connect the dots, however, which is really interesting to me, in realizing that it was, in fact, the trillions of spirals of awareness pummeling the luminous cocoon or fields that are around our bodies. They had correctly mapped out the linear and spiraling movement of awareness, but had not realized that it was also arcing, you know, a third movement which caused the resulting tumbling or grinding movement. So that's what they had puzzled out about death.
Wow. And so how does that empower one?
Well, one of the functions of the building blocks of life is to hold the big pattern of existence. And I think you and I touched on that last week. But it holds the pattern of existence. When it shifts from one pattern to a pattern that represents a higher order, less power is trapped in the pattern and is therefore released. Death is a purification rite. It becomes only necessary when it is our next step up. So when we release as a life form from a physical life to a more etheric life, if you will, in a spirit form, it's the next order. It's a higher order. It doesn't have to be, but if we didn't do the daily purification that the Toltecs speak of as recapitulation, that would be a necessary next step to purify. So when that changes from a lower order to a higher order, power is released. And anyone that is in the vicinity of death will, in fact, experience its power.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely true. And I think that's a really important point to emphasize, how it's not necessarily, at least anymore, the change into subtler realms that necessarily is empowering, that it doesn't have to be that we can now stay in physical flesh and
yes.
And reach immortality. Could you
exactly.
explain how that happened? I think it had to do with August 2006 when the polarity shift.
Yep, the auspicious date. You and I have mentioned a lot.
Yes.
It's the date when huge things happened and momentous events, and they reverse the polar attraction in the cosmos. But what is important to this issue is that the trillions and trillions of little spirals of awareness in the cosmos shattered. They broke into bits and into tiny little fragments. And the one cardinal rule of awareness that Toltecs had been aware of for eons, namely that it moved, was no more. And that which had ground against our luminous cocoon, causing the wear and tear of aging and the cracking of the cocoon, you know, which is the luminous field around the body, which caused death, had ceased to be. So in other words, death resulting from the grinding of these trillions of spirals of awareness was no longer necessary because they stopped moving altogether and they were, in fact, broken into tiny little fragments.
Wow. And that's particularly astonishing every time I think of what attracts those little fragments, the polarity generated by the ascension attitudes of love, praise, and gratitude.
Exactly. It's like sticky tape to them. It's like masking tape that you run across a rug. I mean, it picks up all the little fuzzies. And the love, praise, and gratitude pulls those little bits towards us. It has made growth exponential rather than linear.
And, I mean, does that have to do with the new way that one reaches immortality? Perhaps you can explain to listeners the difference between how one could achieve immortality prior to this shift in the cosmos and the difference between that and how one achieves it now. Feels like it has to do, to some extent, with the ascension attitudes.
Yes, and it always comes back to them, doesn't it? But let's take a look at how immortal masters manage to slip past death before this big change happened. And they did it by cooperating with the spirals of awareness. It was only when we opposed life that we offered resistance to their pummeling. And so it's only when we opposed life that life force leaked out and we died one bit at a time. Now, it's interesting because it's the same principle that applied after August of 2006. Because technically, as we see, death as a reality had ceased to exist, but opposition to life had not. And the average person lived a life in the dialogue of his mind. Thoughts arise as a result of resistance to life. So this resistance still has the capacity to leak life force until there is not enough to sustain the physicality of the body. And because of the cosmic and planetary ascension that began in earnest in February of 2005, increasing numbers of light workers were actually entering the stages of immortal mastery and beyond. But, you know, the point is that it's available to everyone right now.
That's incredible. And are these people aware of it, the people who are making the transition?
Some are and some are not. And let's just for a second, if I might digress, see why these increased numbers of masters are entering, you know, into the higher levels of existence on Earth. Because the Earth represents the densest levels of existence, the place where the unknown meets the known. Now, this is the pivotal level of existence from where the ascension would begin. So as the archetype of the cosmos, it had to represent all kingdoms in physicality, including the ascended mastery and the God kingdoms. So great and ancient masters have been born into humanity. And interesting, because that's exactly what the Arunatvi said. They said, when once again, God shall walk among men. And they speak about, let me just see here, masters again. They say that till masters again among men are born. This is the time. These great and ancient masters have been born into humanity for this very purpose, to evolve humanity into these higher levels. So, you know, they're here to help us overcome death.
Wow. And I understand that it's, and to a large extent I've experienced that these masters can be walking amongst us, and they seem just like an average person at first appearance.
Yes, they do.
Will there be a point where it becomes more obvious that the masters are amongst us?
The day-by-day purification of the cosmos means that more and more energy is available. And the more the energy is available, the more we are able to see into the etheric. Paul, let's do a short commercial break. And you know what we may want to take a look at when we come back is how successful those that transition into higher levels are in totally overcoming death. That might be of interest to our listeners. Join us in a few minutes and we'll take a look at that.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And we are going to take a little look at how successful masters have been that have gone actually into the ascended mastery levels while in the flesh, in overcoming death and achieving physical immortality. So the obstacles they have to conquer include the following. First of all, being raised among humanity. In order to overcome these obstacles on their behalf, they're also subject to the social conditioning that proclaims that aging and death are unavoidable. Loved ones have expectations that enforce this. Then, secondly, we have medical authorities, and they might diagnose a deadly disease, and the master might give that authority more credence than his or her own immortality. And so the third one is, even though the fields around a person's body might transfigure, and they do during spiritual evolution or awakening, if the body does not go into eternal time as a way of life, someone could have their fields be in immortal mastery. And please, folks, take a look at the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, because we have carefully illustrated how the fields transfigure from one stage to the other and what are their telltale signs where you are, so that you will know where you've gotten to in your evolution. So the fields could transfigure, you see, but the bodies may not necessarily follow suit. To do that, you've got to get linear time out of the body. So the next thing is, because most of the advanced masters are living among us in the daily routines of life, they go unseen, just like Paul had just mentioned. Most cannot see the vast difference in their light, as opposed to an average human's. There's very little reinforcement for them, unless they are fortunate enough to meet with other immortal masters on a regular basis. And they could easily be pulled out of the silence of the mind by the things of the world if they let it happen. So, you know, there's one more thing that is an obstacle, and that is that when somebody enters the God kingdom while remaining physical, there has been a compounded problem, and this problem, by the way, to our listeners, was changed early in 2008 by the Infinite Mother when zero-point energy was replaced by dense life force particles. But up until that point, a God being has been surrounded by zero-point energy, something the average person has had on a small scale only, localized around the navel. But zero-point energy steals power and life force from surrounding areas. And this could cause a distorted frequency very similar to cancer if such a master does not fill his or her life with positive frequencies such as joy, passion, inspiration, and many more. So zero-point has been until recently like a vacuum that must be filled with positive frequencies or emotions. But masters in these advanced stages have a tendency to want to overpolarize into expansion and bliss, and a place where these emotions become more difficult to strongly feel. So, you know, from the fact that death has now become optional, we must deduce that it is optional at every level. It will rear its head wherever we do not live from our highest level, with our most heartfelt passion and joy, and with the silence of the mind. And it's a reminder that life is precious. And to come back to that pivot point that Paul mentioned, and that it must be embraced with love and praise and gratitude. Does that answer it?
Yes, Almina, that's very helpful. I think it's particularly interesting to note that some things which have been deemed to be the most spiritual, escaping to that place of bliss and tranquility, could be seen really as resistance to life in a way, because there's not that experience of the passion and joy.
Because it's not a fully... Oh, that's well said, yes.
Yeah, that's very helpful, Amin. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
And another thing that I wanted to ask you about as we talk about reaching these stages of immortality is just a little bit more clarity of what it means when you say that death no longer exists. How does that relate to the cycles of destruction and rebirth that seem to be necessary in existence?
Well, Paul, the actual fact of it is, if you take a look at what density is, okay, density is, in fact, what is obsolete. Now, the cosmos changes from moment to moment. Every choice someone makes brings more insight or more enlightenment or not. And so, as that happens, the cosmos itself is evolving as a living creature, so to speak. And anything that is the last moment's truth is, in fact, density. Anything that belonged to the last moment's limitation that has this moment been overcome needs to be dismantled. And there is a dismantling of the old and a regeneration of the new. What death is when the dismantling of the old is not replaced fast enough by regeneration. In other words, the cycle is disrupted because we don't take time to implement new ways of being, because we get stuck in ruts, because we don't like to change, but we want our life to change. All of those attitudes could block it. Then the degeneration part, the destructuring part, happens more and more frequently than the regeneration part. And that is the difference between what is immortality and what is not.
I see. So in other words, it's ultimately an imbalance.
Yes.
Wow. And that makes a lot of sense. It feels like, at least to some extent, a lot of the discomfort that light workers have been feeling for so long is some kind of an imbalance within the way life seems to unfold. Not necessarily that there's anything inherently wrong, it's just some kind of imbalance that doesn't quite fit.
No, it hasn't. They have actually been the pivot points for multiple changes that need to be made in the cosmos.
Right.
And their experiences have been very, very valid. You know,
yes.
One such question that we may want to look at is why, when Mother keeps changing the paradigm of life, has humanity clung to such aggression? They cling to old ways that the need of aggression and assertion over another is part of life. They watch war movies. They watch war games. They play war games. I mean, all of this in earnest. And why do they keep going back to aggression as a need when anger and pain and fear and protectiveness has in fact been made obsolete by Mother? That is a very good question for us to take a look at.
I agree.
You want to tackle that one next? I can't remember when we took our last commercial break, so I'm just going to let you tell me. Do you think it's time yet, or do we have 5 minutes?
I think we could take a break and then come back and address that question. I'm sure it's not a simple answer, so maybe after
no,
the break.
No, it isn't, but it's fascinating. Let's do that.
Okay.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Velvespada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Okay, well, we are going to tackle a very interesting question. Why is man so aggressive when so many changes have been made during the ascension that the whole cosmos has been in, but man has been the way shower of? And during our break, I had time to ferret through my paperwork here, and I've written down a part that was translated from the libraries of the sea turtle, which are sacred libraries found on Easter Island. And those libraries had a race of giants that were their guardians and still to this day are their guardians. This is an interdimensional library, yet it's very physical because it just has a shield around it. But it's guarded by the giants of Kamar. Hidden on an island, the turtle libraries are. Waiting for eons, the giants stayed true, until Mother arrives and the Father too. Each giant is a god. 18 there are. Long have they waited, the giants of Kamar, to give up the secrets to purify life, to bring in a reign of peace to end war and strife. Why is it that man aggressive has stayed when cosmic ascension has prepared a different way? We give now our secret that this may change, that man's way of life to one of peace may be rearranged. When the proactive pole of existence dominant is, the acidity level in the blood is affected by this. The more acidic, the more aggressively inclined. There must be a balance with what is alkaline. One cell of Mother's proactive has been. Now, to just refresh the memory of those that weren't with us last week, we discussed how creation is really a projection on the screen of the projector, which is one cell in Mother's body. So they're saying that only one cell of Mother's body has been proactive, masculine in that it is action-oriented, while trillions of cells rested, receptive, and serene. To balance the inactive, one cell overactive became. Man, as the microcosm, did the same. Now we give the information we must. With this task the Mother did us entrust, write in the book of the One Life and carry it back to before all began, that not all the proactive burden be carried by man. Other kingdoms too will assist where they can, that balance be restored between activity and rest in man. To do this, Mother must within herself changes make. All cells must for creation's formation responsibility take. In other words, what they're saying is it's been man's job to push life from the known into the unknown because it's in physicality where that occurs. And that if Mother made some of the other kingdoms carry this burden of evolving life, the overactive burden on man, which makes him very acidic and prone to aggression, will not be so. But they're saying that mother must change what's within herself, because there's one cell that has been evolving experiential wisdom, which is the cell that creates our cosmos. All the trillions of others of cells in her body did not. They rested, creating an overactivity in the one cell. But not just the physical must this function share. All mother's bodies for this purpose must be there. The emotional bodies must alternate with the rest. While some hold creation's projection that others rest is the best, changes will be made, for 12 bodies there must be. The 12th body is one of self-perception. The 11th connects to the consciousness sea. The 10th body transmutes old patterns to light. These additional bodies and the better balance set man's mindset right. In other words, if we go through this very carefully, they are saying that we needed 3 additional bodies. And from the libraries on Easter Island, that is something that they wanted Mother to know, because they say that they are the keepers of this information. So there were 3 different bodies that we didn't have before given to man, and this occurred in March of 2008. But you can see that the overactivity created the acidity level, and the problem was not only cosmic, it was at a cellular level in mother, and man is that microcosm.
Right. Wow, that explains a lot.
It does. And perhaps we should tell people about the bodies of man, do you think? I mean, because they're not what people still think of them as.
Yes, I think that would be a great idea.
And Paul, which books do we have the illustration in of the 7 bodies of man?
Definitely in Secrets of the Hidden Realms.
And I think Journey to the Heart of God, too.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, possibly Ring of Truth. Now, in Opening the Doors of Heaven, we illustrate the 9 bodies of man. At that point, the Isis Libraries, that is the translation that you get in Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, in fact, gave the information that there were 2 additional bodies needed, which Mother then implemented. The 7 bodies of man are in all of my books, you know, the emotional body, mental body, etc. Beyond that, there was an awareness body. And we spoke earlier about how it used to be a 0-point body, but Mother replaced it with dense life force, not awareness, life force. The life force body is a sphere about the size of a big soccer ball around the heart center. That's the 8th body. The 9th body is the awareness body, a dense level of awareness particles around the physical, around the other bodies. Then, what the Giants of Kamar gave us as information, is that those bodies, we needed 3 additional bodies to make this really big change to a reign of peace. The 10th body is, according to what they said, is the body of destructuring. So when the blood goes through a cell, the cell has an old matrix in it that became obsolete. It's yesterday's truth and not today's truth. The 10th body and the bloodstream communicate one to another. And the 10th body helps to disintegrate and destructure the old bits of programming. And so that's what the 10th body does. The 11th body, on the other hand, is the body that connects to what they call the consciousness sea, to the larger picture. our cell that we have been the projection of, the other cells became actively involved in projecting our reality as well. In America, we have movie theaters called IMAX theaters. And in Canada, too, I know, Toronto has one. And they make you feel as though you're in the experience because the screen is curved and there are multiple projectors that are being used to project onto that screen. This is now the way that life has become. But we didn't have a body that could communicate to the trillions of other cells that suddenly became part of our projector, our creating our reality. The 11th body is that body that communicates with the larger whole. And what is communicated is that there's an exchange that takes place. Experiential wisdom comes from our original one cell. The experiential wisdom has been given as a gift to all trillions of other cells in mother's body from her one cell. In exchange, they give purity, pristineness, innocence. So these things will be felt incredibly strongly if we're open to them in physical life. Then there is a 12th body, and this is now bodies man has as the microcosm, because mother created these bodies for herself. And the 12th body is the body of self-perception. It's the body that ascertains the information from all other bodies. So those are now the bodies of man.
Wow, thank you, Almin. That's very helpful for people.
You're welcome. And
it's quite remarkable, too. I find that the 12th and final body is the body of self-perception, since, as you've mentioned in your class before, how all knowledge is ultimately self-knowledge. And
yes.
That's quite something. It just shows how important that is.
Yes, you're right. So, you know, the other thing is that there's a prophecy that came from the Thailand libraries of Banach. They're also known as the Lemur libraries, and they speak of the single cell opening up, and when it does, the libraries open up. And we could shall I read a little bit from that?
Sure, yes. I understand that's been happening a lot lately, is incredible libraries opening up, so I'd love to talk about that.
Okay. And they say, upon the plains of a distant land, and this is the geoglyphs of Nazca, Peru, and they're indicating that future libraries that would open had their symbols etched in that land, which they did. Upon the plains of a distant land, many symbols etched in sand shall show the libraries yet to come. The libraries of Banach of these are one. The lemur, and they have a symbol there that they scientists said was a monkey, but it's not, it's actually a lemur, the symbol of this holy site, one day to be opened in future times. The libraries of Banach shall lead the way for all remaining libraries to open in a single day, which they did on the 27th of March, 2008. This shall happen when Mother awakes, when all life is recreated in a higher way. The flower of libraries shall become a sphere. When that happens, Mother's reign is near. The cosmos from a single cell, a reflection has been. Upon that day of opening, a new way of life will be seen. Not just one cell of Mother's body the cosmos will make, but all cells of hers for this responsibility will take. But the one cell of which we a reflection have been shall be superimposed over all others as a field. They too, in the cell's experiential wisdom, may share, for only innocence until then will be theirs. For our cosmos it like enlightenment will seem, like one who until then in identity consciousness has been. Global disasters will be forestalled, as consciousness on earth changes. changes for all.
Wow. This certainly is an exciting time.
Oh, they're wonderful. And the libraries, you know, I have my job cut out for me because every day I'm supposed to translate at least one bit or receive one bit of communication from a library, assuming that they have guardians, from the guardians to of all 129 libraries. I worked all day yesterday for many hours, and I was able to do 4 libraries.
Oh, wow.
So there's a huge amount of work left. And we'll share it with our listeners if they join in. We will tell them about the massive changes and the secrets that are coming out as soon as I've got them translated. Let's break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000, in the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer and in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.
Welcome back with us, folks. And we have just about 10 minutes or so left. So, Paul, what do you think that you would like to have us answer then?
Well, Almeen, you headed into a very fascinating area just before the commercial break. You were talking about the new libraries having opened up, and that's something that I know it's just happened recently, so I'm not even very aware of all those changes myself. I'd like to know, and I'm sure our listeners would like to know some things about these libraries. For example, how they affect the nations that they're opening up in, and how they relate to each other, and also what kind of a role they play in the new world.
Whoa, very good question. Very, very good question. Okay, to sort it into sections, first of all, let's just give an overview. There are a total of 129 libraries. They are in the form of flower. they are in rings of petals. The first, there's three petals. Those three petals are the Isis libraries. That's the first middle center around the center ring. There are three petals. That's the Isis library, the library of the white dove, and the library of the serpent or kundalini. Now, those three, the Isis library started opening in December of 2006. The Order of the White Dove's libraries opened in September of 2007. And then the Kundalini serpent libraries opened in October of 2007. Then, in rapid succession, between December and into the middle of February, seven libraries opened. There were the White Horse libraries, which are in Southern Africa, the main repository, and the smaller collection of them are in Britain, where the white horses are etched on the hillsides. Then also the elephant libraries in Northern Africa opened up. We had the butterfly libraries in China. We had the white tiger libraries in Nepal. There were spider libraries in Oregon. And so forth. There were seven libraries that went bing, 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 and they opened. Then there was a huge shift in consciousness. So the next ring of petals around the three was seven. Huge shift in consciousness, and what happened as a result is the opening of the next level of libraries, and there are 12 petals, the next 12. Currently, we have opened in those 12 the libraries of the unicorns. We have opened the libraries of the Serpent Mound in Ohio. We opened on the Nazca Plains in Peru the libraries of the flower and the libraries of the baby condor. So that's four of the 12. And yesterday, because I was able to translate, Mother had opened the libraries, but to put them into the physical, one has to translate from them. And so yesterday I was able to work with four libraries. And they were the libraries of Banak in Thailand, the libraries of Easter Island, the libraries of Costa Rica, and one of the two libraries in Tibet. And it was the library of the bear. In the night, Mother opened the second library in Tibet, which is, so we had eight of the 12 down by yesterday evening. And Mother opened then in the night, the ninth library, which is the library of the white geese. And it's the second library in Tibet. Now, there are, as you can tell, multiple more libraries. The next row is a row of 20. Then there's a circle around that of 33 petals. Then there's a circle around that. They lie like this big flower of 54 petals. The sequence of 3, 7, 12, 20, 33, 54 is in fact the sequence of higher life that takes the place of the Fibonacci sequence when you are working with higher levels of life. So it's a whole new matrix of existence. Now, let's take a look to answer the very interesting thing that you asked of how does this affect the countries that these libraries opened in. And I did tell the story on the mystical world we live in on the last show, but to share it with our listeners on this show as well, we had a Uzbekistani master contact me. She had a woman from Nepal appear out of body to her and say that she must get this information to us, that these libraries must open. She's spoken her language, you know, and then she was able to translate it into broken English. The libraries in Tibet, according according to this out-of-body lady, she said, you're not aware of our suffering. There are many captives. There are two libraries. There are two sacred languages. We cannot enter there. She says the woman with the white hair guards these libraries. But please let her know that it is time. So in the night, the most extraordinary thing happened. Both Tibetan libraries are going to open. The woman said the beast will go home. And the Uzbekistani master, Alana, asked her and said, who is the beast? And she said, the remnants from the past. And so the opening of these two libraries are going to bring a more peaceful resolution to the situation in Tibet. How long, I do not know, but it will hasten it. Mother and father's languages, two new languages now. The father language is waiting for me to get. It sits like a bubble of energy above my head. I haven't accessed it, but it's already there. However, the mother's new language, I did write down because that came in from the Bear Library last night. As we read in The Gift of the Unicorns in that second cycle, second part of it, which is the history of the cycles, that when mother changes her language, consciousness changes. So the fact that there's a new mother's language and a new father's language must today change consciousness. Her language is like this. Ayaka, anish uziyava, kluuhish pana, tabi inava, neshpahum, staklavish, pish etabastana unaklasum, palsh ana tana subi. What that says is open the gates, freedom for all, no more bondage for my children. Be gone to the old, let the new begin. Let the portals open between the without and within. Let all dwell in oneness. Kaya pana, nu tabasa, kipa hunish, vakla usabaka, eshana pa uhish. Great the rejoicing as eyes truly see. A time of peace has arrived when all dwell in love and purity. Kana barata uhur netakta pana havi. Ki apa nastahur vikabahur. All life is awakening. Nature shall blossom and thrive. Hear my voice throughout all life. Let my creations know this. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will be with you again next week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.